Epiphany was understood in the ancient church as a season of revealing the Messiah, the Christ. Today's scriptures all have water images, images of drowning, rising to an old life, and baptized life as precious, beloved children of God, and especially revealing Jesus as the Son of God who passed through the watery grave in our stead. Our first reading this morning is from Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. The word of the Lord. Our epistle reading this morning comes from the book of Romans, chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, and therefore with him, by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin, once for all. But for the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God and Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Please read the parts in bold print. Mark chapter 1, verses 4 to 11. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying,
"After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit."
In those days Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. Our message this morning is based on both the Gospel readings and the Genesis passage. I'd like to read two verses of Genesis 1 once again, verses 2 and 3. Note the title of the message that's printed there: the water plus the Holy Spirit plus the Word equals change. Genesis 1, verses 2 and 3. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." and there was light. Please pray with me as we begin our message. Lord God, may your Spirit now hover over us here. May your word speak loudly and clearly to us this morning. And may we leave this place with a willingness to live out our baptism with the Holy Spirit, the water, and the word. We pray through Jesus. Amen. Did you notice in these readings here this morning that the water, the Holy Spirit, and God's word were just kind of all over our especially our Genesis and our Mark readings here? In the creation story, the Holy Spirit was hovering over those waters, moving over the waters. In our gospel reading, we saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove there onto Jesus at his baptism there in the water of the Jordan River. And of course, at both the creation and at Jesus' baptism, God spoke. And did you notice that when the Holy Spirit was there and when God spoke, things changed? Things began to happen. What do I have here? Just a plain piece of paper. Nothing special, huh? What do I have here? I was going to ask somebody to give me a $100 bill to be a little bit more emphatic, but I knew nobody would give me one, so I brought my own dollar bill. What's the difference? What's the difference between the two? They're the same size. One's green, kind of that mint green, if you will, money green. But what makes the difference between these two is what's printed on this one, the word. This note is legal tender for all debts and public and private. The United States government has promised that this has value. This has value. Words make a difference. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, there was what? Well, yeah, that's John 1:1, but Genesis 1:5. Yeah. There was nothing. Remember? It was formless and void, kind of like that blank piece of paper. Formless and void. But then what happened? The Spirit of God was there hovering over the waters. I wonder what that looked like. And I don't quite understand that. There were waters? If there was nothing, how were there waters? But whatever. But then God said, and what did he say? God said, let there be, and there was light. There was light. What a difference God's word made there in creation. When God spoke, things began to happen. Things changed. The water plus the Holy Spirit plus the word changed things. There was meaning. There was purpose now. There was form. Things had direction from then on. And in just 6 days, with more of the Spirit's presence and more of God's word, the entire creation was accomplished. The water plus the Spirit plus the word made quite a change for Jesus as well there at the Jordan River. Just a couple weeks ago, a few weeks ago, we had this Advent wreath up here, right? And the beautiful Christmas tree, all the decorations. Was there a manger here with baby? Sure, okay. Well, that little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay was changed at his baptism. You know, in his first 30 years, he was, of course, there in Bethlehem. He went to Egypt with mom and dad. They went up to Nazareth where he lived and grew. Came back to Jerusalem when he was 12 years old, and for another 18 years until he was about 30 years old. Jesus was still formless and void, if you will. You know, he was sort of like empty. There were no miracles yet. There were no great teachings at that point. But then he went to the Jordan River. And what happened? Baptism happened. Baptism happened. And that was when the Word, the Holy Spirit, and the water happened. Mark tells us when Jesus was coming up out of the water, the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. And then there was God's Word. What was the Word? You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. And when Jesus came up out of that water, he began his journey then to Jerusalem and the cross. So that day there at the Jordan River was kind of like day one for Jesus, like day one at creation. On the first day of creation, what entered? Light entered. Light entered into the darkness. On Jesus' day of baptism, the light of God's forgiveness overcame the darkness of sin. And again, this is what Epiphany is all about, the coming of light, the coming of Jesus into our dark world. Yes, at his baptism, his ministry began to take shape. He now had direction. He now had purpose. And that blank piece of paper of Jesus had now been given the authority by the Holy Spirit, as well as the power of the Word that was so powerful back at creation, the creation of the world. Jesus was changed. He was ready to head to the cross. And guess what? We see this in our own baptisms as well. We see it in our lives as we live out our lives as baptized children of God. And you know, we began, as Genesis 1 began, at some baptismal font someplace, with the Holy Spirit hovering over the water there. And when you and I were brought to a baptismal font, assuming we were baptized as children, but some were baptized as adults, whenever it was, from God's point of view, what was there in us at that point? We were kind of like that blank piece of paper, right? Formless and void. We were sort of empty. We had no purpose, really. We had no real direction, really. And our baptism, the Holy Spirit was moving over the face of the water. God's Word was spoken. The water was applied. And creation took place in us. Our emptiness, because of being born with sin, our natural state of being there, was given value there. It was given purpose and direction. And the Word of God that was spoken there at our baptism was, in effect, the same Word of God that was spoken to Jesus when he was baptized. You are my beloved son or daughter. With you I am well pleased. You see, at our baptism, God called us into his family. He called us to be his children. He chose us. Why? Because he was pleased with us. And how is it at that point, how is it that he was pleased with us? Well, he was pleased with us because Jesus had taken our sins upon himself on the cross, and God thus forgave us. And when did it start? At our baptism. Think about that. And so that water there, plus the Holy Spirit, plus the Word, made this huge change in us. Darkness and light, sin and forgiveness, unbelief and faith, hell and heaven. And this blank piece of paper here was formless and void. And the same with you at your baptism, before baptism. But now, we have great value in God's eyes. We're a week into the new year. Already. We're a week into the new year, just another week in our walk with Jesus on his way to the cross. And of course, our walk began with Jesus when we were changed by the water, the Word, the Holy Spirit.
And so what does that change mean for us in our everyday lives? Well, it means, again, that we're no longer like that blank piece of paper. Our lives now have value, they have purpose, and they have a great future. We're so blessed, folks. We're so blessed to walk with Jesus on his way into heaven. I'm sure that you've all seen this. You maybe even have this in your own office, your own business or whatever, but you've seen a dollar bill that was framed hanging on the wall there. In the bottom, it probably says something like, our first dollar or something like that. Well, that's all fine and good except for one thing. That's not what Uncle Sam had in mind for that dollar bill, really. I mean, we think about it. It's not doing what it's supposed to do. And the reason the government moved over the face of that piece of paper there and put its words there was so that dollar bill could be in circulation. And when we think about Jesus there, immediately after his baptism, he was in circulation. Jesus was beginning to do that which he came to Bethlehem as a baby to do, right? God was pleased with Jesus, and that enabled and that empowered Jesus to do his work for us so that God could be pleased with us. With us. Now, might that dollar bill, nicely framed and hanging there on the wall in some office, might that sometimes describe us in our lives, you know? Do y'all have a baptismal certificate? I have a baptismal certificate. I have it filed away in a safe place where nobody can see it and nobody can find it. Now, I think what I should probably do is have it framed and hang it on a wall in a prominent place in my house so that I can be reminded every day that I'm a baptized child of God. Would that be a good idea if we all did that? Maybe a New Year's resolution. I don't know. My wife's not here, so. I just pray, however, that I'm not hanging on a wall someplace, if you get my meaning. 10-year-old Cameron, after soccer practice one day, went into his pastor's office and he says, "Pastor, I want to be baptized." He said that last Sunday, the Sunday school teacher was talking about Jesus' baptism and our own baptism, and the teacher asked us all, "How many of you have been baptized?" And everybody raised their hand, except me. "And I want to be baptized." The pastor says, "Okay. So do you want to be baptized because everybody else is baptized?" He says, "No. I want to be baptized so that I can be in God's family, so that I can be a child of God." "Okay. How about next Sunday?" the pastor said. "Do I have to be baptized in front of all those people there? Can't I just have my friend baptize me down at the river?" The pastor said, "Well, where'd you get that idea?" "Well, wasn't Jesus baptized by his cousin in the Jordan River?" I guess you've got a point there. "But how would the congregation know that you've been baptized?" He said, "Well, I guess by my new way of living." By my new way of living. That kid, Cameron, understood baptism very well. He knew that baptism calls us to a new way of living. You see, God did not adopt us as his children to be some kind of ornament to hang on a wall. He wants us to be in circulation, doing what God's Word and what the Holy Spirit have given us the power and the authority to do. The water, plus the Holy Spirit, plus God's Word. How blessed we are. Amen? Amen. We pray. Lord God, we thank you that because of Jesus' suffering and death on the cross, you forgive us and you are thus pleased with us. Thank you, Lord, for empowering us through water, through your Spirit, through your word, to live as your children. And so bless us now as we leave this place with the desire and the motivation to live as your children. We pray through Jesus. Amen.